pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray that you'll open your word to us this morning, that we might allow your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts, to listen to what you have to say to us individually, but also corporately as a church, that we might turn to love you more. And Lord, see the urgency of your call to go out to all nations. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we look at our New Testament reading from St. Matthew's Gospel 13, 47 to 52. And again here we have a picture. Jesus is using a picture here that the people would all understand. But probably as Helen read those words to us, you got the gist of the meaning too, because it is clear. A bit different from the picture in Amos, which for us as English speakers was very difficult because it was a play on words. In Hebrew, I'm not going to try and pronounce them, but for fruit and end was very similar. A bit like, I suppose, through, T-H-R-E-W, and through, T-H-R-O-U-G-H. So it was that kind of play on words, the fruit and the end. And that's why I elaborated by using what God had seen of the people of Israel. And also in that one, you might have noticed he used the talk of the Passover. I will no longer pass over you as he did in Egypt. But enough of that one. We're going to look at this one now in Matthew. And immediately I think we can see that this is about judgment and about separation. But if we were Jewish and we lived by the Sea of Galilee or we were fishermen, we would understand it perhaps even better. So a little bit of background first of all. The net is a dragnet and was used on the Sea of Galilee, a long net stretched between two boats or sometimes laid out by one boat and then ropes to pull it in. It would have cork floats on the top and lead weights or weights on the bottom. So the net would pull in everything in its path. I hope you're getting the picture. Imagine yourself there by the Sea of Galilee. But for the Jews, they would also understand that net was used as a symbol for judgment. Because in Ezekiel and in Habakkuk, the net is a sign of judgment. So immediately, we're taken from our picture of a nice fishing net to what the Jews would understand was something to do with judgment. Another piece of background information that helps us to understand the picture more fully is about the fish. Because in the Sea of Galilee, there's, I'm told, 24 species of fish. And while any fisherman would sort out the fish from the inedible to the edible, and it's amazing what you can get in the sea. I don't know, I've never been to the Sea of Galilee, but I remember in Thailand and seeing some of the horrid creatures that used to come up with the nets and having to be very careful because some were poisonous. Well, the Jewish law also necessitated sorting out the fish that were deemed as clean, that the Jews could eat, so all the fish with scales and fins, but there were also many species that they couldn't eat which were deemed unclean. So this helps us with our background to this picture. So the Jews understood about clean fish and unclean fish. They understood about the net being to do with judgment. And so we see here that this is a picture at the end of the age. It's when Jesus comes again. And later on in Matthew's gospel, we see that he explains it more fully to the disciples in Matthew 25. When the Son of Man, meaning Jesus himself, comes in his glory, the angels will come with him. So he refers to angels too in this passage we've just had read to us. And Jesus said very clearly he will return to judge the nations. And we see here that the angels will help to separate the clean from the unclean. The righteous and the unrighteous. The righteous and the evil. There will be a great separation. But hey, the good news is that we are made righteous by faith as we believe in Jesus, the Son of God. Romans 3:22, we all fall short of the glory of God, but, in 22, through faith in Jesus Christ, for all who believe in him, we are made righteous. We are put right with God. We are made clean. Our uncleanliness is washed away by the blood of Jesus. That's why we confess our sins each time we come together, because we continually need to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, to be made clean, to be made acceptable, to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. That's good news. Yeah, the overall message is one of judgment, and it's a message of warning. But to those of us who believe that Jesus came as the Son of God to take our sins upon himself, to make us clean, and that Jesus is alive, sitting at the right hand of the Father, praying for you and me right now as we listen to his word. That is good news. We are made clean. We are made acceptable. We can enter the kingdom of heaven. Do you have that assurance? If not, this is a warning. Don't delay. Accept all that Jesus Christ has done for you. Later on in Matthew 25, Jesus speaks about sheep and goats, just like he's talking about the fish and the unclean fish and the clean fish. But he says to those who know him, come, you who are blessed, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. You will have, in verse 46, 25, the righteous will have eternal life. That's good news. Are you excited about it? Are you glad? I look at some faces and it doesn't look as though you are, but we should be glad. We should be rejoicing. Hallelujah. This is good news for us who believe, who trust in Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you look sad because you know there are those who don't believe. Maybe those dear to you. And there is warning, isn't there? For sadly, for those who reject the cleansing of God himself, they will be punished. A picture of a fire. How does that make you feel? Does it give you that sense of urgency that when, I think it was Daniel from Argentina, spoke, it's urgent, he said. He stood here and said, it's urgent that we tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Because if we don't, the Bible tells us very clearly there will be a great separation. Sometimes I think we are too laid back. We just go on. Well, you know, Jesus is coming again, but maybe not in my lifetime. We don't know when Jesus will come back. Well, if you look at the world today, maybe it's soon. Are there those who are going to say, but you never told me? We came on Ascension night, didn't we? Some of us, 7 till 8 and half 9 till half 10. And one of the initiatives is, and it's worldwide, is that between Ascension Day and Pentecost, only 10 days, we're going to pray for 5 people that we know, friends, relatives, but those who don't know Jesus, and pray for them every day, for opportunities to speak to them. That's what we talked about, didn't we, on our fruitfulness on the front line. How fruitful are you on your front line about telling others the good news of Jesus? Never mind your embarrassment and everything else. We need to tell people this good news. We watched the other night, John and I, Daziel, what's he called, and Pasco, whatever it is. And there was a fire. And it was a plane that had crashed. And they went over and they saw that the pilot had died. But he heard a baby crying. And his Pasco, I don't know which is which, but anyway, Pasco said, "No, you can't go in there, you can't go in there." But he heard the baby crying, and so he went in and he rescued this baby. And in doing so, he got burnt himself. But that, for me, is a picture of what we should be doing, of rescuing people from the fire. People who don't know Jesus, they're unclean. We wouldn't say that to them. We wouldn't actually say that. But they need Jesus. They know they've got guilt. There aren't many people who don't know that they've done wrong. But the good news that you can tell them is that Jesus Christ has come to forgive them, to cleanse them, to give them a new life. A life in all its fullness. That is the good news that you and me have. In these few verses. "So it will be at the end of age, and they will be thrown into a furnace of fire." And in Revelation, it talks about a lake of fire. Fire is a terrible thing. There is a warning. Picture language to show us how terrible it is. There will be emotional and physical distress for those who reject their Creator, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the prompting of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It is a vivid picture, even to us who are non-Jews, but more so when we understand about the judgment of the net. And the unclean and the clean. It's a vivid picture, a clear warning of the certainty and finality of judgment when Jesus comes again. But it's a great promise to those who humbly accept their own sinfulness and come to Jesus to be cleansed, to be forgiven, to be made clean, to be made righteous. We're told in Ephesians, aren't we? Put on that helmet of salvation. Jesus has died for you. The breastplate of righteousness. It's not ours, it's what Jesus gives us. And so we are welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And Revelation 20 tells us our names are in the book of eternal life. The question is, have you made the promise your own? It's not arrogant when Christians say, "I know I'm going to heaven." And it's lovely sometimes to, lovely might not be the right word, sorry, but sometimes when Christians die, they have that real peace and assurance of where they're going. And it's marvelous to behold that. And it isn't arrogance. It's just saying, God's word says it. And I believe it. And I'm taking that promise that God has given for myself. And so I can say, I know that I have eternal life. I know that despite all the wrong I have done, Jesus has made me clean and will go on making me clean. We're simply taking Jesus as his word and saying, "Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you that I've made a mess, but actually, Lord Jesus, you've put it right by dying on the cross and rising again and being alive today to help us to live our lives in accordance with your will and your promise." So, a vivid picture for me. I hope a vivid picture for you. But one in which compels us surely to tell others about Jesus. And for us to claim that promise for ourselves and to live for Jesus, allowing his will and his purpose to guide us in our lives. Because Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. And we don't know when that is. But he will bring justice. And he will welcome all those who say, "You are my Lord and my Savior," into the kingdom of heaven. Don't delay. We will have prayer in the corner after the service. If you've not claimed that promise as your own, don't delay. Do that today. There are always people willing to pray with you. And the angels will be rejoicing in heaven. Amen.